Neighborhood Voice explores community issues through the lens of local residents. We've spent time talking with entrepreneurs about their experiences running small businesses and how they've adapted during the pandemic. Now we're getting local perspectives on the impact of COVID-19 from organizations working most closely with the community. I'm your host, Erica Pfizer, and this week I'm joined by Dr. Karen Morris from the Laney Fluellen Charities. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Morris.
Thank you so much for having me, Erica.
So, as a Black woman who is about to turn 35, Laney's story really hit me when I read it, and the inspiration for your charity resonates with me. So, can you tell us about Laney's story?
Absolutely, and thank you so much for asking about that. Laney is absolutely the namesake of the charity, and as you pointed out, she first noticed a lump in her breast at 35. And her journey with breast cancer is not a journey that we'd like to repeat, and so this is why this work is so important. She noticed this lump in 2006, and initially, like so many folks, she just ignored the warning signs. Her mother had a history of benign cysts in the breast, and so Laney, in her indomitable way, thought optimistically, you know, this is probably nothing. It also happened that at this time in her life, she was between jobs, and so she didn't have health insurance coverage, and she thought, I'll be starting a new job soon. Why incur any unnecessary expenses? Mm-hmm. And by the time she started that new job and was under the care and coverage of her new health plan, a few months had passed. And in that time, the lump that she initially felt in her armpit had tripled in size.
Wow.
Unfortunately, the biopsy confirmed the worst. It was cancerous, and the pain associated with this lump was one of the indicators that, unfortunately, it had metastasized and spread to other areas of her body. Laney fought cancer bravely, like she did everything else, for 3 years. She rarely received good news on the course of her journey, but she continued to live her life in a very passionate way, and that's really the spirit that propels us in this work today with Laney Fluellen Charities. She was committed to young women, and she invested in young women in their emotional and spiritual and educational growth. She attended their sporting events. She mentored them. She tutored them. And it's with that same kind of commitment to community that we continue this work in creating awareness and advocacy for women around breast health and specifically triple negative breast cancer.
And you mentioned triple negative breast cancer, which is a specific type, it's a subcategory of breast cancer, and it is most commonly found in young African-American women.
Yes.
Can you tell me more about TNBC?
Yes, thanks again for that question. It's important because about 15 to 20% of breast cancers are considered triple negative, and triple negative is highly aggressive, and because of the way it occurs, it has a higher likelihood of recurrence. Although 70% of women diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer are Caucasian, 40% of African American women are likely to die from it. So, triple negative in particular, doctors identify types of cancer and which treatments will be most effective based on the presence or absence of receptors. So these receptors or proteins live in and around cells, and they bind to something in the body. When being tested for breast cancer, it's important for doctors, again, to know the type and kind of receptors that a woman has, if it's positive or negative, in order to test target certain therapies. So when a cancer cells don't have estrogen, number one, or progesterone, number two, mm-hmm. or when the cells don't make enough of a protein called HER2, then the cells are testing negative on all three, and hence is called triple negative.
And as you said, Caucasian women contract the disease more often, but Black women are more likely to die from it. Why do you think that is?
So, diagnosis African-American women and Hispanic women in particular are diagnosed later, and that we know is because of a lack of access to healthcare services. There is also some recent research that suggests that breast cancer metastasizes more quickly in Black women, but more work needs to be done there. The important thing that you've already brought out is that triple-negative breast cancers affect people of all races. I've already said that 70% of TNBC patients are Caucasian. But you're right when you say, in fact, African-American women are roughly 2 times more likely to have triple-negative breast cancer. Even though white women are more likely to develop breast cancer, Black women are more likely to die from the disease. And across the board, TNBC patients have a 77% survival rate compared to up to 95% for other types of breast cancer, which is why our focus on early detection and screening is so important.
And when I think about that 3-month kind of gap that Laini waited between not having insurance to getting the job and having insurance, you just wouldn't think that it could spread that quickly or be that aggressive. But it's because of this particular type of cancer, right?
Absolutely. No, you've nailed it. It is just highly aggressive, and there are very few treatments. Then one of the goals of our organization that I'll talk about in a little bit is the importance of funding clinical trials. Because there are so few treatments, clinical trials are often the best help for triple-negative breast cancer patients to increase or have a better outcome in prognosis.
And October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Can you tell me about some of the campaigns that you have going on to raise awareness?
So happy to talk about this.
Yeah.
And I can sum it all up in word, education. Education, education, education. In fact, I can't say that enough. Education and screening reduces the chances of dying from breast cancer by 60%. And so it's so important, this partnership now with the Legacy Foundation and Laini Fluellen Charities partnership with Know Your Lemons. Know Your Lemons is a global organization that was started in 2014. It uses lemon motifs to overcome taboos and fear and illiteracy issues, and actually teach women about breast cancer health. So we have joined this worldwide effort and campaign to fight breast cancer and to empower women to be better and stronger advocates for themselves. This Know Your Lemons campaign that we're launching in October sets us apart from other breast cancer charities. We were the only provider in Northwest Indiana and the Chicagoland area. Know Your Lemons focuses, again, on early detection and has already been translated and delivered in 22 languages in 90 countries worldwide. Through Laini Fluellen Charities, we are training global health educators. So we are teaching other women how to go out and deliver this programming. And it's very impactful. Since 2017, Know Your Lemons has reached nearly 1 billion people on social media, and we're hoping to contribute to those numbers. 3 big goals around Know Your Lemons and the education campaign. Number one is it's allowing LFC to improve trust among these communities of color in particular. We know trust is a big issue. And so we're meeting women literally where they are, in person, online, in community centers, through the community organizations that they participate in. Goal number two is we're able to engage more diverse involvement across our volunteer base. And so we are reaching out, again, to women's organizations, Black, brown, predominantly white, to encourage volunteerism, but also, in addition to teaching breast health, enhancing awareness around social justice and sensitivities around issues of race. And then lastly, this Know Your Lemons campaign is helping us overcome communication barriers, not always limited to illiteracy, but also cultural taboos and, again, as I've said, racial insensitivity. And so by participating and partnering with Laini Fluellen Charities and Know Your Lemons in October, women can have access to all of this through our volunteer orientations and education programming.
So I love to hear diverse representation among the educators, because sometimes it just helps to have someone who looks like you delivering this information. Two, that do you actually bring the lemons out and show, like, if it has a nodule here, this means this, or if it has some discoloration here, this.
Erica, you've nailed it again. Yeah, absolutely we do. And, you know, the visuals are so stunning. Mm-hmm. It's part of what makes this programming so great. And we're able to offer this, again, to any community organization or any group, free of charge, faith-based or otherwise. And it's highly interactive. Again, the visuals go a long way in helping women develop some comfort about, you know, what a normal breast looks like, when they should have concerns, teaching them to recognize and identify their own personal risk factors. And then most importantly, and again, this is all free, most importantly, it connects them to an app that digs deeper, and it connects them to our organization, who can then facilitate and be a conduit to engage women with the healthcare system early. So we know, for instance, screening mammograms can cost up to $350, diagnostic mammograms up to $500. That's cost prohibitive mm-hmm. for a lot certainly. Of women. And so to your earlier point about the disparities in communities of color, this is a way that through this programming, women can get in touch and engaged with some of these services.
And not only being cost prohibitive, but I know because of the pandemic, lots of women have put off some of their, you know, regular primary care, mammograms being one of those services. So what would you say to someone who's been putting off their appointment because they either don't want to go to the doctor right now or hospital, and they just hear hospital systems are overburdened? What would you say to just encourage them, make sure you just go and get your mammogram done?
So I would say just what you just said. I would say just go. And honestly, I was one of those people. I mean, at the outset of COVID-19, you know, elective medical procedures, including cancer screening, were put on hold. We had to prioritize more urgent health needs, and also healthcare facilities were focused on reducing the risk of spread. But now things are so much safer. It's so important to go. Regular screening is really the key, right, to having positive outcomes. And most facilities have great precautions in place. Most places, all places now, are pre-screening for COVID mm-hmm. symptoms. Most appointments are scheduled. Healthcare facilities have laser-like focus on scheduling, right, to prevent overcrowding and waiting rooms. All facilities will either disinfect and clean in front of you, and they certainly aren't offended if they don't. If you ask what their disinfecting and cleaning protocols are, everyone is requiring face coverings and masks. So I love this question because I think it allows, I hope it allows people to feel a little more comfortable, a lot more comfortable about getting screenings and mammograms now, and also distinguishing between, you know, a screening and a symptom. So we're screening to be proactive, mm-hmm. right? But if a woman is experiencing symptoms, then she needs to be in touch with her primary care provider absolutely right away. The last thing I would add to that, Erica, is that, you know, when folks, there's been a lot of reports in the media about women experiencing lumps under the armpit as a result of having the COVID vaccine. It's one of the side effects. It's a commonly reported side effect. So the advice from experts is that women get mammograms prior to being vaccinated or waiting 4 to 6 weeks after being vaccinated, because those lumps can give false positives on mammograms.
Sure. I didn't know that the lumps in the breasts were a side effect. So at what age should a woman start to get mammograms?
Sooner rather than later. I will say this, that most women are not getting mammograms until the age of 40. And unfortunately, for triple negative breast cancer in particular, it is showing up in women under the age of 40. And so we would encourage women to get mammograms sooner rather than later. And also, again, take advantage of some of the programs offered, particularly through Lyon E. Flew Allen Charities. We have a very established mammogram subsidy program. So if cost is an issue, we can certainly connect you with our partners at Community Healthcare System in Munster, St. Catherine Hospital in East Chicago, and St. Mary Medical Center in Hobart, which is where our Beth's Bag program, as well as some of our mammogram subsidy, happens.
And Beth's Bag, tell me more about that program.
So Beth's Bags is also a very well-established program. We've been doing this for many years now, and we provide about 400 toolkits to women who are undergoing treatment, 400 toolkits annually, again, to those three centers, St. Mary Medical Center, Community Hospital, and St. Catherine Hospital. They're medical planners and other tools to help women actually keep track of appointments, navigate treatment, know the questions to ask. And so it's another way of supporting women as they are, you know, experiencing something that can be very anxiety-producing. It's just another level of support to help them navigate the process.
Now, if someone wanted to learn more about your organization, either become a trainer or maybe receive services, how could they do that?
So the best way is to visit our website, lfcharities.org. It's a very robust website, and it's growing more robust by the day, particularly with respect to research and treatment. So I think one of the things that folks need to know is that there is sometimes a lag between information that is available at, say, research or teaching hospitals versus what is available locally. But since our inception, we have been, again, laser-like focused on bringing research and trials to local hospitals. In fact, our efforts have directly resulted in 5 new studies in the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland area at the University of Chicago. So check out our research page, lfcharities.org, to learn about some of the groundbreaking treatments and clinical trials that are underway right now, and to get involved with Know Your Lemons and our global health education program.
Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Morris.
Thank you so much for having me.
Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I think that's it. I think the research piece is super, super important. I think, you know, get your mammograms. Don't allow the pandemic to delay that care, and to, you know, just carry with you a little of the spirit of Lyeni Fluellen, and that is really be committed. I mean, there's so much we can do as women when we band together, and men too. Men also get breast cancer, so we have 500,000 folks in Lake County, and we know that Lake County has a higher rate of incidence of cancer compared to other counties in the state of Indiana. So it's super important that we remain vigilant and, you know, get screened.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing this just in time for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and always important to make sure that you're checking your health and in contact with your doctor.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this week on Neighborhood Voice. You can visit OurShot219 for information about local COVID-19 resources in Northwest Indiana. This show is made possible by Legacy Foundation, the Community Foundation for Lake County, Indiana.